So welcome this morning to Wellspring Pentecostal Church in New Road in Welling in Kent. It's a lovely sunny morning, looking out of the window to my right. Lovely sunny morning. We have a wonderful group of people here this morning. We have some visitors, we have some friends, and it has a real family feel about the service this morning. And we welcome you to this broadcast, whether you're watching us live or whether you're watching the recording. I've just been saying to our precious people here that we have had almost 1,000 people view the video of the service since we first broadcast a few weeks ago, and we're very grateful to God for that. This is your first time then, a special welcome to you. I'm sure by now I don't have a monitor as yet, but my name is probably there on the screen. This is Jim Patterson. I have the honor of being the pastor of this lovely church known as Wellspring Pentecostal Church. One of our mottos is that Wellspring is the place to be. It's the place to be changed. It's the place to be restored. It's the place to be renewed. It's the place to be refreshed. And you could keep going with that list. And then something that the Lord gave me just before Christmas for our Christmas leaflet was that time spent at Wellspring, can you help me with the rest of it, is time? Maybe you can hear that where you are this morning. I'm going to ask our lovely people to say it again. Time spent at Wellspring is?
Time well spent.
Very good. And I don't take any honor for that. I believe the Lord dropped it into my heart and it sounded good, and you've been repeating it back to me, and that's always such a blessing. Well, I have a special message for you, and this message I'm going to call happiness. As I was preparing the message, in the back of my mind was a song that I heard many years ago sung by a comedian who many of you young people will know, Ken Dodd. And he used to sing, you remember, happiness, happiness. And it talks about, I thank the Lord that I've been blessed with more than my share of happiness. And many of us could sing that song this morning as our testimony. You know how that at Christmas we have Christmas crackers. Well, the precious family that took Ruth and I in at Christmas Day, and we had a lovely time with them right through and stayed over to the next day, which was wonderful. But I think it was on one of the little slips that you get inside the crackers. You know, you pull them and they're supposed to go bang. Well, they don't always do that, but this one I think did. And out popped a toy, and out popped a little slip. Now, I don't know what you do with those, whether you ignore the slips or whether you look at them or what. Well, I looked at a little slip, and this is what it said. In a recent survey conducted at a Christmas pantomime, it was discovered that 6 out of 7 dwarfs were not happy. I leave you to work that out. And that got me thinking. What if a survey was done in any church, really, up and down our land? What if a survey was done? What would be the percentage of the Christians that are not happy? Just a thought. You see, for a lot of Christians, happiness depends on happenings, and circumstances control their happiness. The weather must be perfect, because if it's not perfect, they're not going to be happy. No one must ever be ill. No one must ever die, and certainly not at Christmas. And no one must ever have an accident. You know how it goes. That's what we want for people. That's what we wish for people. That's how many people want life to be. The reality is, that's not how life is. Now, we're all familiar with the terms happy birthday, happy anniversary, or happy Easter, happy Christmas, and I'm sure we're getting our happy New Year ready for people. Now, when we say or write those words, we really are expressing our heart's desire for the person that we're communicating with. We want them to have a happy time. We want them to have a time free from worry, free from anxiety, free from illness, free from anything that would make them sad. That's what we wish, and we wish it with all of our hearts. However, the truth is, true happiness does not depend on things that happen. True happiness is not controlled by circumstances. Let me explain. And I have help with this. The Christian author, some of you will know of, Oswald Chambers, he offers this explanation. He wrote, "Joy is different from happiness because happiness depends on what happens. There are elements in our circumstances we cannot help. Joy is independent of them all." Would you agree with that? I mean, it's a very good man that said that. And when I read that, I thought, yes, that just fits in so well with what I want to share with God's people on Sunday morning. I'll give it to you again. I believe it's worth it. Oswald Chambers, he says, joy is different from happiness because happiness depends on what happens. There are elements in our circumstances we cannot help. Joy is independent of them all. Clearly, there is a distinct difference between happiness and joy. So, instead of wishing you a happy new year, may I wish you a joy-filled new year. Would you be happy with that? Now, my question is, and I have never opened up happiness like this before in all the years that I've been a pastor. But I want us to ask this question. What are the ingredients of true happiness? There's quite a few, and I doubt if I'll finish them all today, because I know Brian likes to get home for songs of praise, and therefore I need to finish about 12:15 or just before if possible. Brian is one of our members here, and one Sunday he was said something like, "Hurry up, I want to get home for songs of praise." And it stayed with him ever since. Someone said, "You have to be careful what you say when Pastor Jim's around because he's sure to repeat it from the pulpit." Only amongst friends you understand. But getting back to the message. What are the ingredients of true happiness? And in the will of God, unless my heavenly boss says different, I'll continue with this next Sunday. First of all, there is a right relationship with God. You cannot be happy without a right relationship with God. You see, the Bible says in Psalm 144 and verse 15. Maybe you know it. What does it say? Is that what it says, really? "Happy is that people whose God is the Lord." Are you one of those people this morning? Are you someone who knows the Lord? Like Paul was able to say, "I know in whom I have believed, and I know that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." Are you able to say with the patriarch Job, "I know that my Redeemer liveth"? Can you say that this morning? Happy is that people, and can I say, happy is that person whose God is the Lord. Jeremiah 10:10, the Bible says, "The Lord Jehovah is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King." This is the God of Genesis chapter 1 in verse 1. "In the beginning, God. He is the Creator. He is almighty. He is omnipotent, all-powerful. He is omnipresent, present everywhere. And he is omniscient. He is all-knowing." The Bible says he knows your very thoughts before those thoughts ever become vocalized. He knows everything about you. And so my question stands, do you really know this God this morning? Or whatever time you're watching this broadcast, Do you know? Can you say, Jim, I know this God you're talking about. I know him. I've known him for years. In my case, I was introduced to him when I was 18 years of age, standing at a bar in the town of Aldershot in Hampshire. I had already tried to end my life because of suicidal depression. Because of the loss of my father, the loss of my fiancé, I couldn't take life anymore. I was also being bullied in the army. And for me, there was no hope. And someone once said, you can live for 40 days without food. You can live for 8 days without water, 4 to 6 minutes without air, but only seconds without hope. And that was my situation. And someone, thank God, who was in the parachute regiment, came into the bar. And I was planning to go back, finish my drink, and go back and use my army rifle. Before I could do that, God sent someone. Interesting enough, his name was John. The Bible has a verse that says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. That is so true in my case. And John came and shared the good news of Jesus Christ with me. And the more he talked, the more it made sense. The more I wanted what he had to offer. A new life. My heart to be healed. I wanted hope. I wanted God to take away the pain and the darkness and all of that. And he said, Jim, would you mind if I prayed with you? I remember thinking, oh God, not here, please. Not in front of all these people, because they were smoking and drinking and having a wonderful time and throwing darts and things. And I thought, oh no. And he wasn't a nice, quiet person. He was rather loud. I thought, oh no. And he must have read my face because he said, oh no, I don't mean here. There's a church nearby. And so we knelt 11 o'clock on Friday, the 10th of April, 1959. We knelt in Holy Trinity in Aldershot. And that night he prayed with me. And then I surrendered my life to Christ and asked him to come in. And I said, Lord, if you can heal my broken heart, dry my tears and give me hope, I'll go to the nations of the world and I'll tell them of the hope you gave me. And I thank God from the age of 18 now till 74. I'm telling the world of that hope that Jesus gave me. And long may it continue. And all God's people said, bless you, thank you. So I know him. Do you know him? Has he changed your life? Because the Bible says, if you know him, if you dare ever use that name, Christian, then you've got to be different. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. She's a new creation. She's not the same as she was before. The Bible says old things are passed away and all things have become new. Is that true of you? If it's not, it can be. It can be right now. Surrender your life. Let God have his way in your life. And your life will change, I promise you. It'll change for good forever. In the book of Hebrews 11 and verse 6, the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Here it is. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I love the words of Daniel 11 and verse 32. The Bible says, the people that do know their God, they shall be wimps. No, it doesn't. It says the people that do know their God, they shall be what? They shall be strong. There it is at the bottom. They shall be strong and they shall do amazing things. They shall do exploits. How can you be strong? You can be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Psalm 27, the Lord is the strength of my life. Hallelujah. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen? Amen. They that wait upon the Lord shall what? They shall renew their strength. John wrote to the young men in 1 John 2:14, and he says, I write to you, young men, because you're strong. Why are you strong? He said, because the word abides in you and you've overcome the evil one. Hallelujah. That can be your experience. Well, secondly, another ingredient of happiness is the power of the Holy Spirit. Good place to say amen. But you don't have to. Ephesians 5:18, the Apostle Paul says this, be being filled, keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. And then in Galatians 5:22, Paul lists 9 fruit of the Holy Spirit. And the second fruit he mentions is what? It's joy. The fruit of the Spirit, he says, is love, The next in line, he says, is joy. Nehemiah 8:10, many of you precious people will know this verse. Nehemiah said to the people, he had read the word and the people listened to the word and they bowed their faces to the ground and they cried and they wept because of what the word of God had said to them. It so moved them. Nehemiah says, come on, he says, come on, get up. He said, don't be sad. He said, this day's holy unto the Lord. Don't be sorry. Nehemiah 8:10. And here's this wonderful verse, these wonderful words rather. The joy of the Lord is what? The joy of the Lord is your strength. You see, friends, by God's grace, God's people, Israel, were on the brink of a new beginning and that call for celebration. And I don't know about you, precious friend, but in my spirit, I sense we are as a church on the brink of something wonderful, on the brink of God moving in a more mighty way than he's ever moved, not because of him, but because of him. Because we're in the last days. We haven't got long. We must reach the area. We must reach our world. We are going to reach our world. And I believe God is going to come in upon us. He's going to fill us afresh with his Spirit. I believe that he's going to move in a mighty way. And people are going to come into this church. They're going to be saved. They're going to be restored. And they're going to be healed as they sit in their seats. And people will come in with depression and all sorts of junk in their lives and they'll go out completely delivered and completely free because of the presence of God and the blessing of God. So just like Nehemiah said, he said, come on, we're on the brink of a new beginning here. And it calls for celebration. I pray that God will help us to celebrate the new thing that's on the horizon. Number three. There's another ingredient of true happiness. And you know what that is? It's contentment. Am I in front of a group of content people this morning? Are you content? Very important to be content. Philippians 4 verse 10, the Apostle Paul said, I have learned. Contentment is something you learn. Little by little, by little, by little. He said, I have learned. In whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And then he expands it. And I'd like to read from the Amplified Translation. He says, I have learned how to be content, how to be satisfied to the point where I'm not disturbed or disquieted in whatever state I am. Verse 12, I know how to be abased and live humbly in straitened circumstances. And I know also how to enjoy plenty and live in abundance. I have learned in any and all circumstances the secret of facing every situation, whether well fed or going hungry, having a sufficiency and enough to spare, or going without and being in want. Verse 13. You could say to Paul, how? How can you manage that? How can you be like that? He says, I'll tell you. He says, I have strength. You know it as, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Amplified says, I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I'm ready for anything. Are you? Am I in front of a group of people this morning like an army? You're ready for anything. Oh my. I believe you. I have strength for all things through Christ who empowers me. I'm ready for anything. I like this. And I'm equal to anything through him. And I love this bit. Who infuses inner strength into me. And then he says, I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. How about that? Amen indeed. 1 Timothy 6 verse 6. And I'm grateful to my brother Victor for the the scriptures going up on the screen, and I have a monitor here for the folks watching. So if you see me looking down from time to time, that's what I'm checking. Not checking that they're up, but checking that what I'm saying is in line with what is here. So 1 Timothy 6:6, the Apostle Paul, he wrote to Timothy. And he wrote to him about contentment. This is what he said. Godliness with contentment. What is it? It's great gain. Yes, it is. Verse 7. How true this is. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And then Paul says to young Timothy, he says this. Verse 8, 1 Timothy 6:8. Having food and raiment, having food and clothes, let us be there with content. Amen. Amen. Number four. We're doing well. Number four. Another ingredient of true happiness is praise. I'm glad that you're a happy people. I couldn't see myself being pastor of a miserable people. People that look like they've been pickled in vinegar. Pentecostal church, not pickled church. Thinking back, the joy of the Lord is our strength. It is. Oh, I know that you can't go around life grinning like a Cheshire cat all the time. But you see, the real joy of the Lord, nothing can change that. And it may sound terribly divisive in a sense that it's possible to stand at the graveside of a loved one and you've got sorrow in your heart, but the sorrow in your heart is not stronger than the joy in your heart. You know what I mean? I've been there. I've been there. Many of you have. You know that sorrow, it endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And as a child of God, we don't sorrow as those that have no hope. We have hope. If we're a child of God and our loved one was a child of God, then we're going to see that loved one again. They're going to be the first ones to be resurrected according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. When Jesus comes to the heir, the bride, the true church, the born again, the blood washed, the Bible believing, Bible living by, will be up first. Those who have died will be up first. And we who are alive, says Paul, and remain, we shall be changed. How long will it take? A couple of hours? No. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed and we shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise. Not miserable. Praise. Psalm 34, verse 1. Psalm 34, verse 1. David the psalmist said this. I will bless the Lord most of the time. Oh no, sorry, you haven't got that version. I will bless the Lord when I feel like it. No. I better stick to the original, don't you think? I will bless the Lord at... You know where my mind's going? To Job. If you don't know the story of Job, I encourage you to read it. Lost all his children, all his servants, all his livestock. Then he lost his health, covered in boils. And he couldn't go to his wife and have a nice hug like a loving wife would give and say, hey, darling, let's pray for you. God's going to bring you through. It'll be all right. No, she pouted her lips and put her hand on her hips and wiggled and said, I don't know why you don't curse God and die. Thank you very much, Mrs. Job. I'm so glad I'm married to Ruth and not Mrs. Job. What did Job say? The Lord gives. And if I can interject there, the reality is that everything we have is His. Isn't that so? We already read that we came into this world with nothing. And I came in just in my birthday suit. I don't know about you. People talk about, oh, she was born with a silver spoon in her mouth. Well, to my knowledge, there was nothing in my mouth. I tell you an interesting story. My daughter, don't tell her, will you? But my daughter, she's, what, 45 now, bless her. Pretty girl, doesn't look her age at all. And just recently, she said she was going to the dentist. I said, oh, got problems. She said, I'm having some braces fitted. Braces? I thought those were for your trousers. Not that I wear them, but... Long story short, if she's watching, I'm in trouble. I said, you're having braces. Why? Well, Dad, my teeth are all crooked. And I said, but darling, I've never noticed. She said, they are. They're all over the place. I said, really? I said, but darling, I mean, my first wife died in 1983. Mirella was 14. I said, but look, we've loved you as you are. We loved you the way you were. We loved you with the teeth you came with. And she snapped right back as quick as anything. She said, but when you had me, first of all, I had no teeth. Somebody said women have to have the last word. I say no. Men must have the last word. Yes, dear. Moving right along. Forgive me for that. But I will bless the Lord at all times. Yes, I was in Job. I haven't forgotten. The Lord gives everything we have. And the Lord takes away. Because it's His. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the Bible says. He owns the silver and the gold in every mine. And what I'm pointing at is this, that Job's attitude was, the Lord giveth, the Lord takes away. What did he say then? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen? Whatever is happening, he says, blessed be the name of the Lord. Nothing changes him. Nothing changes his worth. Nothing changes His holiness. Nothing changes His faithfulness. Nothing changes His love. Nothing can separate us, says Paul, from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing. That's what Job was getting at. It's His prerogative. He gave, He's taken away. Bless Him, praise Him. That's the attitude. So David said, I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise. Just looking at that cold water on the screen. Boom. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, friends, if you're not a praising person, people talk about New Year's resolutions. I don't make them. But if you're one of those people that likes to make a New Year's resolution, how about making the resolution that by the grace of God and with the help of God, you'll be a person who praises God more? It's a good resolution, isn't it? I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. How about Psalm 103 and verse 1? You know it. David said, bless the Lord. Oh, my soul, and all that is within you, all that is within me, bless His holy name. For many years, a man who had been a medical doctor, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, he was the minister of Westminster Chapel in London, and he once described the importance of preaching to ourselves. He said, have you realized that most of your unhappiness in life is due to the fact that you are listening to yourself instead of talking to yourself? How about that? In Ireland, where I come from, Northern Ireland, they say, would you listen to him? Would you just listen to her? You know, to what she's saying, to what he's saying. Have you listened to yourself lately? And do you talk to yourself? Martin Lloyd-Jones says it's something that we should do. We should talk to ourselves. We should listen to what we're saying. We should talk to ourselves. Say, come on, you shouldn't be talking like that. Don't wait for someone else to pull you up. Do it yourself. And we have a good example of this, I believe, in Psalm 42. Psalm 42, verse 5. And the same words you'll find again in verse 11. You'll find the same words in Psalm 43 and verse 5, so you can take your pick, Victor. The psalmist says this. We don't believe it was David. It was a psalmist. The psalmist says this. Here he is talking to himself. Preaching to himself, if you like. He says, why are you cast down? Why? And why are you disquieted within me? What's the remedy? Hope. Hope in God. How about this? For I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my sad countenance and my God. The sad's added by the Amplified Version, and I believe it's right in the circumstances. Let's learn from the prophet. Learn from the psalmist, first of all, who preached hope to his soul. Circumstances spoke despair, but he spoke hope, and you and I need to do that. But also, let's learn from the prophet Habakkuk. Habakkuk 3 and verse 17. The prophet said this. It's a verse that many of you will know. He says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there'll be no herd in the stalls. What is Habakkuk going to do? He says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Happiness depends on happiness. Joy is not dependent on happenings. Hallelujah. So I say, in case I forget, may you have a joy-filled new year. Habakkuk says, I will joy in the God of my salvation. Here it is. The Lord is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet. Those little animals that can climb up on the rocks higher and higher and higher. You see, we're meant to soar. We sang about it this morning. And I shall soar like an eagle. We're not turkeys going scratch, 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 gobble, gobble, gobble. No, no, no. The Lord is my strength. He'll make my feet like hinds' feet. And how about this? He'll make me walk upon the high places. You've been down in the valley, sister, brother, too long. God is inviting you this morning to come up higher. The hymn's coming to mind. Many of you know it. Lord, lift me up and help me stand by faith on heaven's table land. You know the one? Lord, lift me up on higher ground. Hallelujah. I wonder, have you ever had to battle with depression? If you have, please remember to use what God has given you. What has he given you if you're his child? The answer is in Isaiah 61 and verse 3. Isaiah 61 and verse 3. God has given you, and you know what he's given you. God has given you what? He's given you the garment of praise. Jesus was sent to fulfill this ministry. And when he, in Luke 18, when he stood up in the temple. This is the passage that he read. They gave him the scroll, and he unraveled the scroll, and he found this passage. He said, "This is why I've come. This is why I'm here." He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. Here it is, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness." Spirit of heaviness is depression. And if ever depression knocks on your door, my brother, my sister, put on your garment of praise. There's a song, "I have put on my garment of praise. I have put on my garment of praise. For the spirit of heaviness has gone from me. I have put on my garment of praise." Watching this morning or watching the recording, if that was awful, sorry, forgive me. I'm going to ask our people here to sing it with me again, and I'll stand back from the mic a bit, and I hope you hear them and not me. One day we'll have the camera on them. They'll all have bags on their head because they don't want to appear on television. I am joking. Let's sing it. Something like that. "I have put on my garment of praise. I have put on my garment." It's there somewhere. "For the spirit of heaviness has come from me. I have put on my garment of praise. I have put on my garment of praise. I have put on my garment of praise. For the spirit of heaviness has gone from me. I have put on my garment of praise." So if you're watching this morning, or whenever you're watching this message, I trust that you too will put on that garment of praise. And as I said earlier, in my case, I suffered from suicidal depression. And after my friend John prayed with me and I received Jesus as my Savior and Lord, all of the depression lifted, never ever to return again. Thank God. Praise God. And one of my favorite songs that I often sing, and I'm not about to this morning, but is "He Touched Me." And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened and now I know. He touched me, and Jesus touched me that night in Aldershot. I've never been the same since that time. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. The garment of praise for depression. A good friend of mine who's now with the Lord, just recently he's gone to be with the Lord, Dr. Gordon White. He wrote a book, and the title of the book was, "What on Earth Are You Saying for Heaven's Sake?" Good title. What on earth are you saying for heaven's sake? And in the book he highlights the fact that God's people must always speak in line with God's word. You see, the word of God is a lamp, and the word of God is a light. And by hearing yourself speak the word of God, faith will be created in your heart. Amen? Amen. Hope will be created. Healing will be released. Proverbs 4 verse 2, the Bible says, the word of God, what is it? It has the ability to bring health to all our flesh. Proverbs 4 verse 24 from the Amplified. "Put away from you false and dishonest speech and willful and contrary talk. Put it far from you." I'd read that again. "Put away from you false and dishonest speech and willful and contrary talk. Put far from you." Oh, friends, may God help us as we step into the new year in a few days' time. May God help us to be people of the word, people who live by the word, and people who speak the word and speak in line with the word. Amen? Amen. Proverbs 4 and verse 23, I find a fifth and for now, a final ingredient for true happiness, and that is a pure heart. A pure heart. Proverbs 4:23. Keep the heart. I'll explain more about that in a moment. Keep the heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Amplified Bible. Keep and guard your heart with all vigilance and above all that you guard, for out of it flows the springs of life. Friend, keep your heart free from unconfessed sin. David the psalmist said this in Psalm 66 verse 18. He said, if I regard, if I condone, if I try and cover up and conceal sin in my life, sin in my heart. Back to the King James. He said, if I regard iniquity, lawlessness, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord, he says, is not going to hear me. And we need prayer answered, do we not? We need prayer answered. And the Bible assures us in 1 John 1, if we confess our sin, he's faithful. He's just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But hear those words again. David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So I say, this is an important ingredient of true happiness. Keeping the heart pure. Keeping the heart free from all unconfessed sin. And keep your heart free from bitterness. Paul said in Ephesians 4, he talks about towards the end of the chapter, about verse 30, he talks about how he says, look, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Well, Paul, how can I grieve the Holy Spirit? He said, you can grieve him by being bitter. Let all bitterness go and malice and all of that. Let all that go, he says, and forgive each other. And I'll talk about that in a second. So let me run back. Keep your heart free from bitterness. Keep your heart free from unconfessed sin. Keep your heart free from unforgiveness. Very, very quickly this morning, Jesus made it so clear. He said, if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. We say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, you know how it goes. What do we say? Forgive us our trespasses. Well, I'm not forgiving him. No, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those. Jesus said, if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. And you say, but Jim, you don't know what they said. You don't know what they did. Sister, brother, forgive. Let go and let God. Hand that person over to him. Well, they shouldn't get away with it. Look, it's not about revenge. It's not about retaliation. Leave it with him. No one gets away with anything all the time that God is alive and he's not going anywhere and he's not about to die. Leave it with him. You say, oh, well, I can't. Well, are you willing? No, I'm not. Well, then may God help you to be willing. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. And all God's people said, you've got to let it go, friend. You have to let it go. You want true happiness. You want true joy. You want a genuine smile on your face and a spring in your step and a sparkle in your eye and health in your body and soundness of mind. Then let it go. J.B. Phillips wrote a translation of the New Testament for the benefit of his children. And in Hebrews 12 verse 15, he says this, be very careful that none of you fails to respond to the grace that God gives. Because if you do, there can very easily spring up within you a root of bitterness, which is not only harmful in itself, but can poison the lives of many others. You and I know precious people this morning who when they speak with bitterness. And if you're not careful, what they're saying will poison your life, make you a negative person, make you a critical person. And you're not, you're lovely people. Don't let them spoil you. He says it's not only harmful in itself, but he said it can poison the lives of many others. So I need to end. Keep your heart free from unconfessed sin. Keep your heart free from bitterness. Keep your heart free from unforgiveness. And finally, keep your heart free from worry and anxiety. That was a good place to say hallelujah, amen. Let me give you a scripture for it and I finish. Not good, it's only 4:15. Somebody's just thought, he hasn't finished yet. Philippians 4 verse 6, the apostle Paul says this. Be careful for some things. Oh no, he doesn't know. That's how you'd like him to say, isn't it? To say it. He says, be careful for nothing. Nothing? Yes. Nothing. Zero. Zilch. What am I to do then? But in everything by what? Prayer. And supplication. Earnest prayer. Petitions. With what? Thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, you're going to deal with it. Thank you, Lord, you've taken care of it. Hallelujah. That's it. Let me get on with life now. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And what will happen? The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep, the word keep is God, garrison, shall garrison keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. And the will of God will continue next week, unless I get instructions from my heavenly boss I'm to change. We'll continue in the will of God. And so, my friend, whether you're watching or whether you're here, I wish you a joy-filled new year. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your precious word of truth. Your word really is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And I thank you for every precious person that's heard your word this morning. Oh, I pray, Holy Spirit, will you please take over where I've stopped? Please, will you explain where I fail to explain sufficiently? Will you give revelation and illumination and understanding, I pray? And may this message have full effect and be of full benefit to every person that has heard it. Your word says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by hearing the word of God. This morning I've sought to deliver the word of God. I pray that precious people will not just have heard it only with their physical ears, but I pray that their inner ears will have heard the word, that their spirits will have received the message this morning, and that lives will be changed. Father God, if there's one person here or one person watching who as yet does not know you as Savior and Lord, I pray that this might be the moment. This might be the moment when they open up their life and their heart to you. And Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that you will reveal yourself to them in all your sameness, in all your love. Lord, thank you that it doesn't matter really what we've done, what mess our life is in. It doesn't matter what sin we've committed, as long as it's not blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Lord, your word says that all sin is forgivable apart from that one. And Lord, I pray this morning that any person who doesn't know you, I pray that right now they'll acknowledge their sin before you, acknowledge the state of their life as it is, and as they come to you desiring change and desiring a new life, I pray, Lord, that you reveal to them how that new life can come. And it can come, Lord, when you come in as Savior and you come in as Lord. I pray that they will know forgiveness for their sin as they repent, as they have a change of heart and a change of mind. I pray that they'll know forgiveness, true forgiveness. They'll never be the same again. That they'll walk away this day with the assurance that because they've received and believed on Jesus and received him, they are now a child of God. Thank you, Lord, for your word, which says if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. Will you help each person who feels you've been speaking to them through this message? Would you help them to do what's necessary to do to be truly become a child of God? Not a make-believer, but a real believer, we ask in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Bless you. We're available if you want to speak with us afterwards. We're available. And maybe you need a little booklet, you need some help, and we're here for you. There's tea and coffee afterwards.